Good to see you all. I love all the community and conversations, sharing of life and faith together, of struggles and joys. And so how many of you guys this week had a really hard week? Anybody? Yeah. Well, I hope you are refreshed this morning. And how many of you guys had a really easy, joyful week this week? All right. Well, pass it on. You can pass on some of that love and joy to around. I've been having a challenging week, which has been good. God has been faithful in it, and I hope all of you have seen God's faithfulness this week in the joys and the challenges. So I want to tell you guys a little bit about my life. When I grew up, the first probably 8 years of my life, I lived in this tiny little house out in the country of a small town in southern Colorado, and it was a little dinky, I don't know, maybe 600 square feet adobe house that my parents were able to live in for free, and it was a great place for me. I would not change it if I could. I loved growing up there. Some people have felt sorry for me because I didn't have a bigger house, but it was a fantastic place. We had 5 acres to explore, and I had a marvelous growing up. And the house was really little. It did not have plumbing in the house. It did have one sink with water that went to it. It had an outhouse in the back, and it had a wood stove that kept it warm in the winter, and screens that kept it cool in the summer. And so in the midst of that, my dad, who is one of my heroes, my dad felt like that was just a fine place to raise a family. And so my dad, he didn't work a lot. My dad would get a few odd jobs here and there, bring home a little bit of money. And to him, it was everything we needed. He made up for what money he didn't make by going dumpster diving for extra food, and he would bring home food that the grocery stores had tossed out and was still good, or at least we thought it was still good. I thought it was just fine. And so some of you guys are feeling sorry for me. I told you not to, so don't feel sorry for me because I loved my growing up. And so, in my dad's mind, that was just totally fine. So my dad got a few odd jobs here and there, enough to buy rice and beans and oatmeal and take care of his family. And then my dad also, he had a generous heart. And so my dad would do odd jobs for free for people that didn't have money to pay him. And so even though we were pretty broke, my dad would sometimes get a job and just do it out of the goodness of his heart. And for some reason, my mom didn't think that that was like the greatest thing in the world. And because my dad has always been my hero, I didn't know that that was so weird. And then I got married, and I started raising a family. And we have not only one bathroom, but two in our house. And I've never gone dumpster diving for food for my family. But I still have some of these tendencies that my dad had. I still can sometimes neglect my family for the sake of other people that I think would be more important or need me. And I have some of those same things in me that my dad had. And some of those have actually hurt my wife, Holly, as well. Even though, man, we're doing good. Seriously, we got like running water. We got the whole bit. We're doing pretty good. But to see some of those things passed down has been kind of eye-opening to me. And to see some of the struggles that I've inherited, and I think all of us have inherited certain ways of being. And we have certain things in our life that have helped us cope with life. And some of those have allowed it so that we could just survive the challenges of life. but some of them aren't very healthy. And some of them we might even be ashamed of. Some of the things inside of us, we might not even want to know, let alone let other people know about us. And so this morning, I want to just start with that place of we each come to the table with certain things in our lives. And I want to tell you this morning that we don't have to hide from God. Because I think what happens a lot in our lives is we end up building kind of these masks or these walls around us, these facades, these ways of being that help us kind of cope with life or help us look okay to ourselves or to the rest of the world. And yet, within those, sometimes it's a place of hiding. And so this morning, I just want to tell you, you don't have to hide from God. If God saw everything about you, if he saw exactly who you were, if he saw all those dark places that have caused you pain or caused someone else pain, or that you may be ashamed of or that you would like to cover up, if he saw all of those, he would not be ashamed of you. He would not turn his back on you. He would not say, hey, you need to clean yourself up and put on a different front before you come to me. He would say, come to me. Come to me as you are. And this morning, none of us have to hide from God. We can all come to God exactly as we are, with whatever a mix of awesome abilities and of shameful things we hide, and be received. And so why don't we pray? And I just want to just kind of talk about that a little bit this morning. So thank you, God. I thank you so much that you receive us as we are. God, I would like to hide from you. I would like to pretend that I'm somebody I'm not. And yet, I thank you so much that when I don't hide, when I come to you, you bless me and you give me good things. And I ask that you would speak to us this morning. God, I ask that you would grow us. I ask that you would grow us in being really raw and real and open with you, that we might know you more than we know you now, that we might come into your presence in a new way. God, I pray for those places in our lives that we have held back from you, that we have not allowed your love to come into, maybe places of pain or shame or hurt from the past, or just places where we feel insufficient. I ask that you would come into those places that we may not have allowed you to love and be loved more fully this morning. God, I ask that you would love each person here more fully this morning, that they would know a little more of how high and deep and long and wide is the love of God, that they would know more of the love that surpasses all understanding. We don't understand why you love us, and yet we appreciate it. May we receive your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jesus invites us to follow him. That's the first point. Jesus calls us and says, hey, you, come follow me. I want you to follow me. And when Jesus was here in a physical body, he called people to come and follow him, and many did, and they came and followed Jesus. And following Jesus means that you let him be your head, you let him be your teacher, and we become disciples, which are learners, which are followers. We become his students. And Jesus teaches us so many things. And I am appreciating recently, Jesus is the most phenomenal teacher that's ever lived, because he's so patient and he's so good at knowing exactly what we need and how to teach us and lead us into that. So he invites us, come and be his disciples. Will you come and let him be your teacher and be his disciple? And if so, he's going to teach us amazing things. And some of those things are about God and are about life. Some of those are these amazing intellectual, doctrinal, unbelievable truths that we will only ever scrape the surface of. And some of those are things that he teaches us how to do. Go hear and speak. Go and love. Do miracles. Go and heal. And some of what he wants to teach us is about us. He wants to teach us about who we are and teach us at the depths of our being. So following Jesus involves not only outward obedience, but it involves an inward transformation. He doesn't just want to teach us how to love, he wants to teach us that we are loved. He doesn't want to just teach us the moral code to live in. He wants to transform us from the depth so that our hearts love what is good and walk in what is right. And this is how it was with Jesus' disciples. He taught them so many things. It's amazing if you look through, if you read in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John in the Bible, and you get to see the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples when he was here on earth. And a lot of those things that he talks to them, he's talking to them about them. He's teaching them. And a lot of times the disciples, they like to argue about who was the greatest. It'd be interesting to see some of these conversations. Like, bro, I'm the greatest, man. When we're in heaven, I'm going to be sitting right next to Jesus. You know he's so proud of me. Like, look at you. He doesn't even let you have the money bag, man, because you can't be trusted, fool. Like, look at me, though. These guys are arguing about who's the greatest. And Jesus doesn't stop and teach them about how heaven works. He stops and says, come here, guys, sit down. And he brings a little kid over, sets the little kid down, and he says to them, do you see this little kid? If any of you want to be great, you need to lower yourself and become like a little child. Whoever wants to be great will become a servant, not the boss. Wow. Just right there, just speaking deep into their soul, into the pride, into who they are and how they see themselves. Another time, they were traveling to Jerusalem, and they were going to go through Samaria. And because they were going to Jerusalem, they said, sorry, you guys can't come through here. The disciples are like, they're starting to get this. Jesus has power. Like, hey, Jesus, what do you think? Should we call down fire from heaven and just obliterate this town? And they're probably thinking, Jesus is going to be proud of us. Like, we understand the power of God. Jesus stops, and I wish it records his actual words. It just says he rebuked them, like, what are you guys thinking? We're going to destroy this town? Like, did you not understand? And he's exposing things in their hearts that they may have never even known were there. Jesus one time comes walking on the water towards the boat, and the disciples are in it. And Peter, who's got the guts to say, Jesus, if that's you, call me out on the water. I want to walk on the water too. Awesome. I love his courage. He gets out of the boat and he starts walking on top of the water towards Jesus. Then he freaks out. You're not supposed to walk on water. He starts looking at the water, aware of what's going on. He starts doubting and sinking. Jesus reaches out and grabs him, lifts him up out of the water. And starts speaking to him. Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. And so those are the kind of things that our teacher will talk to us about. Why do you doubt? What are you afraid of? What's this pride? He desires not just that we would learn how to be awesome ministers, but as well as that on the inside, we would be washed and new and continually transformed. And some of those things in our lives, Jesus wants to speak to us about how we think about ourselves. I think Jesus wants to teach us about how we think about other people. He wants to teach us about why we do the things that we do. I think Jesus wants to teach us about how we handle stress and conflict. He wants to teach us about how we handle loss and pain. And even more than just saying, those aren't important, I need to teach you how to do the right ministry, or I need to teach you the right information. He says, in addition to teaching you the right way to live, I'm going to teach you about you, about inside of you. What has the longings of your heart? Where do you go to for comfort? What do you do when life is full of stress and anxiety and conflict? And some of those deeper things aren't really fun to look at sometimes. But Jesus wants all of us. And yet in the middle of that, we can have a tendency to hide from God. Okay, Jesus, you want all of me? When Jesus came to call Peter, he said, Peter, come follow me. And Peter said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I could totally relate to that. Okay, Jesus, you want me? You want all of me? I don't know. I think you should probably go away from me. I'm a sinful man. There's some deep and dark and stuff in me. I'm warning you, if I follow you, you should know that ahead of time. From the very beginning, we have had a tendency to hide from God. If you guys will turn to Genesis chapter 3. All right, so Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, God has created the entire universe, the heavens and the earth, and he's created two people. We'll just start at the beginning of that chapter. Now the serpent was more crafty than the other beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Okay, so Adam and Eve were told not to, they could eat whatever they wanted, but not from this one tree. They had the entire world except one thing that God said not to do. So there's something in us, whether we are tempted by the evil one or not, that wants to say, what is that one thing I can't do? Let me have that one. That must be awesome. And so Satan, in the form of the serpent, is able to tempt Adam and Eve, and they eat from the fruit. And so their eyes are opened, and they are aware of good and evil. For the first time, judgment comes in. For the first time, they can make judgments about what is good and bad, about what is right and wrong. Before that, they had no knowledge of that. Before that, there was no judgment. They never looked at themselves or anyone or each other with any form of judgment. And so now, all of a sudden, they are aware, and the first thing they do is they sew together leaves and create clothes. Not very good clothes, but they create clothes because they're aware that they're naked and they're ashamed. And so they want to hide. And so they want to hide from each other as well as from God. We're going to continue on in verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from God. Wild. As if, like, God can't find them. As if God doesn't see exactly where they are. As if God doesn't know exactly what they're thinking. He doesn't know them so intimately. They hide. I don't know where they hide. Hide behind some kind of tree or something. So they're hiding in the garden, and here comes God. And God says to him, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I love a lot of things in that. One is that when we hide from God, God comes and looks for us. And he says, where are you? And so in our lives, I see that we hide behind other things besides fig leaves. We can hide behind our accomplishments and our successes. We can even hide behind our ministries. We can hide behind our image of who we want other people to see us as. Maybe that's an image of greatness, that I'm a really good person. Or sometimes we actually hide behind images that were total screw-ups and hide behind this image that I'm a loser. We can hide behind our possessions. Sometimes we hide behind our perfectionism, our addictions. We can hide behind our comforts. We can hide behind our busyness. Hide behind all these things so we don't have to just be fully in the presence of God, as if God doesn't see us. John writes it like this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And so the light exposes things. And there's some amount of, if we can hide in a place and just put up a front, I won't be exposed. And there is something really scary about being exposed. I think that's why we hide. In my own experience, it's because of my own shame and my fear that if I'm exposed, people will abandon me. God will leave me. If you knew who I really was, you would turn your back on me. If God knew who I really was, he would turn his back on me. And so in that tendency to hide, we don't come into the light because we're aware that our deeds are evil. And all of us get that awareness at different points. There is something broken inside of me. And yet, what does God do? What is God's response? We're going to continue on the response in Genesis. We're going to jump ahead in chapter 3 if you'll go to verse 21. What does God do when he sees them hiding? When they're trying to cover themselves and not be known by him? What does God do when he sees us hiding in the darkness and putting up a front? In 21, I must say first, he goes through all these things and he says, there's consequences for what you've done. And I should add that to our lives. There is consequences for what we've done. There will be consequences for the choices we've made. And God doesn't necessarily make it so there's no consequences. But apart from that, then God and the Lord God, verse 21, made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. When God saw their nakedness and their shame, he did something amazing. He sacrificed an animal that he had created. He sacrificed that animal to have skins to cover Adam and Eve. So he saw their shame and nakedness and he covered it. And that was the very first sacrifice ever. And there's been many, many sacrifices since then, until the final sacrifice, the last sacrifice was made. And the last sacrifice was that God sent his own son, Jesus, into the world. And he sent his son into the darkness, into the brokenness, into the sin, into our own filth. And he put all of that on his son. And he sacrificed his son for us. Not just to clothe us so that we would be covered, but to transform us. That if we would believe in Jesus, we would be transformed and be made new. And so Jesus has made the most amazing sacrifice. When God sees the yuck and brokenness and filth in our lives, he doesn't turn his back on us. He enters into it. He takes it on himself and he cleans us and gives us righteousness and gives us newness. Jesus has opened a door to freely come to God. We do not have to hide. We can come freely before God exactly as we are. Colossians 2:14 says, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. How awesome. There was this charge against us, this whole list of ways that we've fallen short. He took the whole list. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. Loser. You forgot to do this one. Really screwed up that one. Yeah, you tried hard, but you still didn't accomplish this one. He took the whole list, the entire list of what we were trying to accomplish, trying to be like, nailed it to the cross so that we are not condemned. There's no longer a list of requirements that you have not measured up to. He took it away. Hebrews 2:11, I love this. Both the one who makes people holy, that's Jesus, and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Jesus was the only holy sacrifice. He gave us holiness, and we're in the same family, so he's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed of whatever is in our lives. He is not ashamed of you with the thoughts that you have, with the ways of being you have, with the addictions you have, with the places you are stuck. He's not ashamed of you. 1 John 4:8, there's no fear in love. And that's the fear we have. But in love, there's no fear. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. God gave his punishment. He put it out on his son. He doesn't want to punish us. There's no more punishment that he wants to give. So we can come before him without fear that he's going to be fed up with us, punish us. We can approach his throne without fear. Colossians 1:12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. I give thanks. Thank you, Father. He has qualified us. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. To live in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of away from darkness, in that place of sin and hiding, to live in the light, to live freely and openly and vibrant lives. We have been brought into the kingdom of light because of what he's done. Jesus has qualified us. We get that by faith in him, not by somehow trying better and better to measure up. He has qualified us. Awesome. Enjoy that. Believe that. Self, believe that. Where do I not measure up? That's not the point. He has qualified us. He has clothed us. Even more than God clothed Adam and Eve with this garment, He has clothed us in the righteousness of his Son. We are wearing the righteousness of Jesus. We are wearing the brilliance and glory of Jesus. Anyone who in faith invites Jesus and accepts his life is wearing his life, is wearing that newness. We are clothed in newness. So for this reason, we can be open and real with God. And I think God likes to, if you guys ever feel like you're not growing fast enough, then teach somebody something else. And God will come and test you in that. So I gave this message a couple weeks ago on the West Side. And I thought, sweet, I'll just give this. It'll be nice and easy. And God wanted to test me in that, I think. God wanted to humble me. This week, I was struggling in my thoughts in a really deep and ugly and dark place. And I came to a place to share some of that with my wife and certainly share some of that with God. And that's scary. I don't know. I don't know what kind of image you guys like to try to keep up. Sometimes a pastor image is kind of a hard one to try to keep up. So, at least for me, I don't know. But to actually be real, that I have some really deep and dark and shameful thoughts about myself in my life is not something I'm proud of or want anybody to know. But the amazing thing to bring that into the light and be real and to be accepted by God is one of the most profound places. Because God already knows. God, like, I don't know what kind of bush we're trying to hide behind, but it's pretty funny. God actually knows all your motives. He actually knows your thoughts, and he knows the things you struggle with, even if you put on a pretty face. And he loves you right there, and he wants you to be loved. He wants to clothe that, and he wants to love that place. And when that place comes into the light, he wants to wash it with light. Not to hurt you, but to bless you. To bring light onto that and healing and freedom and forgiveness and a new start and resurrection out of that death. Newness and power. And sometimes we just stay in this dark tomb. It's like, can you imagine Jesus after 3 days, he's just hiding in the tomb, staying in that place of death. But to come out into the light, may we not be ashamed of one another either. I know some of you guys have some deep things that you're struggling with too. I'm not ashamed of you. And I know Jesus is not ashamed of you. And I know you don't have to hide any of those. And yet, it's easier said than done, as I can tell you. But this is the message, 1 John 1:5-8. We have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We don't have to hide from God. May we be open and real with God. For me, this has been one of the things that has helped me grow the most in my life, is learning to be real and learning to cultivate that realness with God, to speak some of that stuff and to ask and to... And even though God knows it, just to speak it. So this is me. I'm not hiding. This is me and my twin brother in front of our little adobe house in an awesome upbringing. And for the first 7 or 8 years of my life, that's where I lived. And I got some healthy things, some beautiful things, and I picked up some kind of weird habits and weird ways of being. But I don't know. I like the light in that picture. You can come into the light as you are. Come into the light and be refreshed. Be renewed. Let the light shine on that. Let the light drive out the darkness. May we not hide from God. May we be open and real. I encourage each of us, even this week, I encourage you to take some time. So to take some time, even a couple times a day, and just sit with God and be real with where you're at. And invite God's light, that light of His love, just to wash over that spot. And maybe there's some spots that you've never let God's love touch. Some wounds or some dark secrets. And just let God wash over those. Let Him cleanse those. Let Him have those. He's not ashamed of you. He's not freaked out. He already knows it. And so that's my challenge for us, is may we each take a little bit of time this week, each day, and just connect. Connect with God in a really real place. Thank you, God. God, I give you who I am. Thank you that who we are is being lost and transformed in you. I pray for those places we hang on to, that we would let go and just surrender. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for each one of us. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the new life that is within us, that we can live a new life of freedom and openness and life. We just appreciate you and remember you. In your name, amen.